Hey everyone, welcome to the 17 hour AFK episode, what is this, I think 5. Just a late night recording. My computer's still kind of halfway implemented in its upgrades, so couldn't get to processing a podcast this evening or this week because, well, you know, as everyone else's life is, everything's a little topsy-turvy right now. So, with that being the case, I'm just going to talk about a couple of different topics that I've observed and listened to and a couple of things on my mind. So, first we're going to start with the new social constraints, the new constraints, community guidelines for running League of Legends tournaments. I could go into it, but there was a number of updates that were meant for clarifying rules and regulations and the right way of running a League of Legends tournament in for high schools, colleges, and I suppose just other partner programs. But there were some special rules called out for collegiate and high school, and the response from the education field was a little surprising, but I've kind of commented on this before in the past. There was a sense of entitlement because their purpose is pure, their purpose is about making it better for the students. Yeah, I mean, and giving something good for the students to do. I mean, I've been nothing but an advocate for the value that collegiate esports, and I could see it being there in high school and even middle school, junior high. But to believe that you deserve to have everything bent over backwards for the type of tournaments that you want to run and compromise what ultimately running a game is a business, is just like game developers who make a game for themselves and it's not good, it's not fun, but it might be a developer's sense of fun, but it's not actually developed for anyone else. And I kind of feel like this is, it's the same short-sighted selfishness that is actually going to be a bottleneck for a lot of this, because the more these communities push back, the more or less likely that those groups want to work with anyone. And now Riot is also doing their RSAA, I believe the acronym is, for their education at Scholastic Association within Riot. So it's supposed to be helping run collegiate LOL and very soon collegiate Valorant, of course, right? So, I mean, they're trying to run a business and they're trying to run their esports, and of all people, I mean, Riot has given their game away for almost a decade, if not a decade, for free. They figured out cosmetics, they figured out how to make it less or not pay to win at all back from the early days, or really changed it up. So they came through for the community then. They've come through and elevated esports, period. Esports production, esports expectations, hands down. So for the community backlash to be like, oh, you took away a few things, especially because it was just wording. Now I know wording coming from a company like Riot is usually legal rights, but these were guidelines. And as I forget who said it on Twitter, this is the floor, not the ceiling. And take it with a grain of salt, but they said that they would take the feedback that they got because it was very, very loud from the academic field. They were going to take it back to the table and discuss, and I'm sure that there will be some discussion and some changes, of course. Now, the group I really have a problem coming from is the one who started a petition that was just all about me. It was under the guise of for the educators and what their purpose was, but it shouted nothing more than, this is how we've been doing it, we don't want to change, we don't want to adapt, we don't want our toys to be messed with. Well, sorry, the game is growing up, the audience is growing up, the expectations around League of Legends, their brand, the competitive integrity of these events, they are becoming more and more important, and Riot is trying to assert more and more control and authority and authenticity around it all. That's their prerogative. Now, you can either work within the bounds or you can work around it. You can be a good partner and figure it out, and you can provide feedback in a constructive way, and we can have a conversation, for sure. But the sense of entitlement, the arrogance, the complacency for not wanting to do the work outside of what their work was and their work is within their individual school communities, or even in some minor cases the conference, it just doesn't matter. That's not the value overall. It's not the big picture. And while I don't know how well Raya has done talking the big picture through with schools in both college and high school and stuff like that, but they're pushing their prerogative. That they own their IP. They get to see how it's treated. They get to make sure all the communities treat it correctly. Now, devil's advocate, other side of it, Riot makes more than enough money, and these tournaments in college and high school probably only better serve the long term of the brand, keeping the next generation involved and engaged and desired, let alone also just feeding esports positions entirely. It builds that interest, but as much as there is that longevity, they've already got something that has withstood 10 years. It's an esport that shows no sign of slowing down and is the most popular game in the world. So, yeah, you could say that they could pull back and do some better good for university communities, but no, there's been very little quality control around these tournaments, and they want to make sure everything goes right. A little controlling, sure, but as I said, floor, not the ceiling. So I think this is where we start. But for some of the educators out there who are taking this very personally and not willing to have a conversation, but would rather throw down threats and near ultimatums, basically, when they're a group that has no leverage whatsoever just within the collegiate space, and, well, as I've been covering it for the last 2 years, while it's been growing, yes, it's also still very, very small, and no one knows where it's going. So, and there's no front runner. So Riot decides to take the reins and be proactive. I commend them on that and helping drive a vision. So yeah, there's the petition out there. There's lots of people who signed on to it, and I believe that they think that they're doing the right thing, but I think it's also just one person, maybe two people, who are really pulling the strings and putting this together because they have a vested interest in the outcome. And it's probably money-driven. It's probably ego-driven. I've not been too impressed with the characters involved, so yeah. I mean, I can just leave that at that. The second topic I'd like to discuss would be the coronavirus. Surprise, surprise. If you've heard any of the Check Your Six podcasts, you'll hear kind of openings from me and my co-host over the last couple weeks talking about what it is, how everyone's doing, what's going on. And for many of you, I'm sure you've heard of the students who are being kicked out of their dorms, who are having to relocate, having to find housing to deal with it, to deal with the situation, or people who are being told, go home. There's no place here. The schools are closed. They're closing down the dorms. So everyone's got to ship out. And that's an incredibly unfortunate situation because it is also disrupting esports. Now, there was a case I heard, this was a week and a half ago, about all intramural sports being canceled, including the esports team. And so they actually had to go through and get permission to continue their game because all the students were playing from their dorm rooms. This was before the dorms were starting to be closed out. So And so they got permission to play their game because all the students were separated, playing in their rooms and everything, and it didn't seem to matter. But as more of the campuses showed slowing down and showed trying to take this seriously and contain everything, they, like, the esports arenas closed, esports lounges closed, community gaming centers closed, and then now they're kicking students out of their dorms, and there was an official announcement from Sam Tiki. He's the lead producer, CEO, I'm not entirely sure his title, but he's the head of the College Rainbow Six League, and he put out a statement earlier, 2 days ago, on Saturday. COVID-19 and implementation of emergency procedures. Hey guys, we wish we were sending this announcement under better terms. Though Space Production and CRSL staff stand behind our mission statement of doing good and empowering students, above that we stand to make sure y'all are safe and healthy. Today we will be enacting emergency procedures. Below is a brief list of rule modifications and updates to the league. For a full breakdown of rules that have changed, please visit another channel. We will be delaying the live finals for College Rainbow Six until farther notice. Matches are permitted to be delayed an additional 2 weeks, up to 4 weeks from the scheduled time. Emergency roster changes will be permitted. Just submit a ticket explaining your situation and we'll get it resolved. Teams are permitted to play up to 5 matches in 1 week. As the situation evolves, we will be keeping a watchful eye and making weekly announcements regarding these changes and beyond. Many of our staff will be reaching out to make sure you and your teams are safe. If you wish to focus on your health and safety, we will hold no grudges if you choose to withdraw from your matches for the remainder of the season. Many of you will be quick to point out that the majority of our league is online and can be played from home. However, we understand that many of you may soon be displaced or may be going through hard times. We want to create an environment where you can still enjoy your matches, but only when we're all ready. From the SP, Space Productions crew, and staff at College Rainbow Six, stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck out there, and wash your fucking hands. End quote and announcement. I think that's a big deal for clubs and these kind of private events to be able to go out and say, this is our official policy, this is what we want to do. And it's also taken into account the players and these teams that have very little regulation around them. It's usually whatever the club on campus sets up, and here this third-party organization is thinking about the students. They've clearly planned and worked with the students, and those who are organizing this are very well versed in what students may be going through right now. As well, it also just shows that CRSL is paying attention to the news. They're paying attention to what's going on. So this is a good, healthy sign for collegiate esports. Now, with these changes, obviously the outcome of this league and the season is going to be thrown into chaos. Like, it depends on how many students are displaced, how many teams have to make accommodations, and what teams feel like really they want to play all their matches right now, and which teams feel like they can slowly pace them out so that they can try and practice and get the practice in between. So either way, this season is going to be compromised, and I've yet to see announcements from the other two leagues, CR6 and CEA, but I can't help but imagine they'll have to enact similar rules, because CEA is only a 16 team league. So and they've already had one team withdraw. I don't know the exact reason why they dropped, but they disbanded. It was San Jose State University. So there's 15 teams in that league. If many more of them drop out, you're talking about just kind of like, what's the point of this league? Because you no longer have your invited teams playing. CRSL, same thing. They have 32 teams, so they can withstand a few more losses, but it's still very much at the heart, putting the competition at risk. NCR6, 140 teams, and they're in the middle of, I believe, an 8-week group stage. They're halfway through. So what would losing all these teams be like if that's what it came down to? They could easily withstand the hit, but the ultimate idea of that this league is happening with high levels of competition, again, it gets that asterisk, and there's other games going on. So like any of like League of Legends and Overwatch, any of the conferences going on, any of these big esports events that might have had a collegiate show match going on, canceled, done, finito. So this is going to be, I mean, it's already impacting collegiate esports and esports globally, but this is going to be something that really slows down the momentum that was going between teachers not really being able to work with their students or coaches and educators and coordinators being able to develop their program. They're just kind of stuck at home doing what they can. And it's not going to be ideal. There's going to be hopefully some teams that really stick it out and are able to figure out a way because they have passionate players. But you never really know how it's going to play out. And right now, everyone's still going, what do we do? Now, there's plenty of things that you can be doing and should be doing and should not be doing to deal with this virus. But when it comes to what should you be doing with your time, if you're limited with resources or you're not with your team, the best I can suggest is be playing online with those communities. Now's the time to be doubly invested in the communities that you're building, in these leagues that you're participating in, because they still need your participation. And now, obviously, if you're sick, if your family member's sick, if you're packing up your life and moving, you've got bigger fish to fry. But while you're home, keep grinding. Grind with your community. The collegiate or college Call of Duty League, they are still figuring out their brackets. Tuned into a Marco stream late night while he was doing his thing, and they're not stopping. There's ways to be productive, you just have to be proactive. So leaders, now is the time to really step up. Captains, coaches, people who want to be big in esports, now is your time to shine. Figure out the best way for you to be involved. Figure out the best way to move things forward. Collegiate Esports Leadership Discord, they just hosted a massive conversation about scheduling and how players and how these colleges all handle scheduling, players scheduling, tournaments scheduling this, scheduling that. And I think there was at least 60 people in that chat, in that voice chat, and so much respect, so much camaraderie, and everyone's kind of figuring out this specific subject at hand. But with a group like that, it's only a matter of time until there's really a authoritative situation to really help guide collegiate esports outside of the IP owners. So there's going to be a value shift. At some point, collegiate will bust through some sort of ceiling, and collegiate will have more emphasis and weight at the table, but not yet. And it's going to be how we deal with this situation and how we move forward still quickly, because in my mind, collegiate esports is still 3-4 years behind professional esports. But something like this is a momentum killer, and it's going to really bring our slope and the scale at which we're investing and growing towards the professional scene, it's going to slow us down and bring us more back to a flat linear growth, because it's just going to be limited by time, and everyone's value and opportunity to contribute may be capped because everyone's situation is different. But this is where everyone has to get creative. This is where everyone still has to keep talking. Just like in dire straits in your matchups, when you stop talking, you start losing, and you keep losing, and there's no way to pull out of that death spiral. We all have to keep talking, we all have to keep coordinating, we all have to keep planning. But we also, going back to my first point, we also have to come to the table with humility and grace and leaving the ego at the door, because I'm not sure if y'all notice, but not many people are taking notice of collegiate esports yet. It's growing, and it's a big deal for those who are aware of it. But for others to take notice, we have to be serious and understand the place at where we're at. Now, wrapping this all together, because we have to keep momentum going, we have to keep growing, we have to keep sharing and building these communities. Those are no doubts about it. But when we talk about this power struggle between, and I'm actually going to take it a step farther, because some relationships between the developers and their third-party publishers, they really conflict with each other. And I don't think I've heard of a publisher really stepping in at this point, but it wouldn't be unheard of once if esports keeps growing and as these AAA development houses explore AAA titles within the esports space from the ground up. There's developers, there's the publishers, there is the esports leagues, and then there are also the players. In collegiate, it's going to be the colleges, the players, and still the publishers, and still the developers. If the developers hold all of the power because they hold the IP, the publishers, the ones who may actually be enabling the studio to make their games, they still have a way to put out there. So it's a different conversation every time, but here's the one way collegiate can get around that. Make your own damn game. I know many universities now have a game design and game development track, whether it's art, engineering, whatever. And I'm sure, from the dedication I've seen from the collegiate club space, if these game design groups started making an esport-focused competitive title, you would own the IP, or the school would, but then you still have a leg up on everyone else. You can send them off to other students for feedback, build your network, build it out, learn how to run not just individual tournaments, learn how to run a league, learn how to coordinate this, that, and the other thing, learn how to deal with contracts, so if you're using Unity or if you're using Unreal Engine, you get the student discounts on that stuff. And when you're ready, you pay the upper price to get the ownership in your point. And then you have to deal with paying royalties to whatever engine you're using. Well, that's fine. Many games do that. Give yourself a break. You're already doing something that's near impossible, and that's developing an esport for a community from the ground up. But because of everyone's network, because everyone has been so driven by camaraderie and community, go out and start selling one feature at a time. Not literally selling, but put it out there. Go to other gaming clubs, send it out there, send your demo around, get feedback, start theorizing balance strategies, start thinking about systems, start thinking about ecosystem, start thinking about the player loop, start thinking about the hero's journey, whether it's in match or outside of match. Start thinking about lore and how important it is to your game, how players access it. Engage every single one of those creative majors on your university to see if they can give a little bit, because gaming is prevalent everywhere. Your colleges are hotbeds of creative energy, and as we've seen many people do, they go on to create something very successful out of their own college dorm. So, little ingenuity, a lot of the same passion and dedication that I know is in collegiate esports, these clubs can be just as effective at creating a disturbance in what everyone sees as an imbalance of power. If you make your own game, which there are tons of smart students out there, and many schools have seniors putting together their projects and building things out in different roles. Well, I challenge those degrees to make their own games, their own esports, and build it for more than just a single semester, or a year, or 2 years. Make it a premium experience. Make it so that there's a single game that everyone's working on, and it's the educators who are the directors. They get to dictate whether it's good enough or not. They get to say, what are we doing? They get to say, here's the problem, but leave the problem solving to the students. Let them build a game. Let them build a feature. I would rather see someone build a feature and then experiment and iterate on it and show me 10 iterations within 2 weeks. And think about it and find ways to get better at user testing, get better at play testing, coordinating that, gathering feedback, processing it, understanding change, and getting great at that process than someone building a throwaway game in 6 months. I mean, since Portal, how many student projects have you heard about that go AAA or the team is snatched up by companies like Valve? You don't. You haven't. It's not a thing. There's some people who have been successful indie developers. Great. That's good for them. But we're talking about something bigger. We're talking about fundamentally shifting power in collegiate esports. If there are any esports and gaming clubs tied together with their game design clubs, like I know was the case up at Western Washington University, but I haven't seen much activity on those discords, unfortunately. If you have programs and clubs dedicated to that, you all should be working together. That should be that next extension of your casual gaming club and your esports club, is making the darn things and figuring out what you want those games to be. I mean, think about this. Genres like auto battlers, battle royales, and the different takes on each one of them have all been coming out in like the last 2 years. That's it. Experiment. Find your flavor. Find your way in. Find your niche. Find interesting things, components of other games, and mash it all together. I mean, that's all Valorant is. Mashup of Overwatch and Counter-Strike. Congratulations, you've made something that is functional and it's easy to understand because it's based off of what we all have grown up understanding or the games that we're interested in. Done. Awesome. You did it. Apply those lessons, make a different genre. Sweet. You did it. I don't think it's that much to ask beyond, because of look what all of your clubs are already doing. Figure out that next step. Figure out that next form of your club. Find out what identity your club has. I think of all the clubs I've talked to, UCI obviously knows where they want to go. They're going very much the business route, business and education. They're also being kind of the epicenter of sharing their lessons so that everyone can kind of catch up to where they are, get on their level, you know, a little competitive. All of the Texan schools that are competing, they know that they're doing it for competition. Like, that's been hands down, like, their premium goal. We want to be good. We want to raise the name of our school in esports, and we want people to recognize it. Get it. I got it. I mean, y'all are competitive as all hell, so it makes sense. And Oklahoma State is still probably the one I think has the biggest understanding of who they are. Community outreach, journalistic practicum, research. So what I'm saying is, it's about time a school comes out and says, game development is our esports focus, or one of our priorities. I think that would add a little bit of fire to the competition, really. I mean, all these clubs are already tremendous opportunities for building content and value for your universities. But now, if you could imagine a property underneath them, if you could imagine students are now running these things and it becomes popular enough that it becomes a program, much like a football program. And so then you have students who are running game development and esports league operations, and that goes way beyond what the programs are doing right now. But someone's going to do it. Someone could crack this. Now, I've been in game development for over a decade, and I've not been a part of esports production, and obviously not game development, really, because anyone who's making a game for esports, they have an incredibly high bar to do. They might be able to make a competitive game, which I have no doubt Valorant will be a competitive game. It's also one of the few games where I think it'll actually just be inherently an esport because of Riot's track record. I think that's all there is to it. They've earned that right to run it like that. Does that mean that there will be esports starting day one? I don't know. I don't think so. Let the community decide. That's how we've been running this kind of stuff. All this collegiate esports. Let the community decide what they want, what games they want to play, how they want their clubs to run. I think you could do the same thing with game development. What game do you want to build? What features do you want to build? Let's build it. Let's test it. Let's run it out there. Let's have a game development coordinator who's just like your esports club coordinators, who keeps the vision alive, that keeps everyone on track, that keeps things moving, that's a guidance counselor, basically. Someone who's there to help guide a vizier, an advisor. That's all it needs to be. Find someone who's versed in it and passionate about it, who can help drive these students to good decisions and good practices. I think that there's opportunity for some university, whether it's Grand Canyon University, University of Washington, Washington State University, Ontario Tech College, RIT, whoever, anyone. It could be a community college in the middle of Iowa, for all I care, who figures out a secret sauce for making that next popular game, and one that makes the community take over and want competitions. That's not driven by rules and regulations like a game developer and publisher. If the university owned it and other schools wanted to participate in it, that is a leg up for creating the educators board, who then drives a founding and a supporting governing body for esports in college. But you have to own the game yourself first. And I haven't heard anyone have that conversation. So if you've heard any colleges starting down that road or talking like that, I would love to get involved and hear what they're doing. Boost that signal. Because the power dichotomy as it is not going to last. Someone's going to disrupt it. Someone is going to make it bigger. Riot is taking one step in the ownership of collegiate esports. And if Valorant can be as successful or even 50% as successful as League of Legends, they will still be closer to someone who has figured out the secret sauce of making an esport. And that's very valuable in today's world with where professional esports are. I mean, think about I'm going to go off on a tangent now. Think about that. A game developed by a college, we'll say Oregon State University, Oregon State, they develop a game. It becomes popular, they built it up feature by feature, they've run community tournaments on campus until it got good, until everyone's like, wow, this is really good, or they were already sharing little bits of it, maybe older builds off to other universities, being like, what feedback do you have? How can we do? What's wrong? How's this working for you? What do you think of the coordination, the teamwork, yada, 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 yada. They build it, and they build it, and they build it. And you have this advisor kind of holding everyone to it, and maybe the school hires on another person and another person. This is making content. This is how it goes. You could record the entire process, the every Monday morning meeting, the practice of stand-up meetings, all of it. You could record it all. Show how far a team goes and comes from beginning to end. Show them what it's like to deliver an individual shipping product or a feature and run through a sprint, run through a milestone, run through development, sign-off procedures, you know, all that. And it gets big enough that other colleges want to start playing in tournaments. Other colleges want in on it. And then suddenly, you know, an organization like Jinji comes out and says, hey, you've got a cool game on your hands. Mind if we try? We can give you some feedback. We can talk about it. That kind of stuff. Great. Wow, this is really good. I'm going to talk to some guys over with the LA Valiant or Luminosity Gaming, whoever. Be like, hey, you guys want to try this other thing? It's really good. It's from a college, so we could be competitive and we could weigh in on it. Great. And I can always hear some business type people in the background going, oh, that's a great way to buy into it and just buy it outright and take it as your own. Yeah, that's a possibility, sure, but the college gets to decide that. The students should hopefully also get to guide that. But professionals start getting involved. The school still owns it. How do you want to grow this? How do you want to run this? Oh, we are building it out like this. We've already been in conversations, and because we also have students involved with TESPA and Riot and CSL and all these other private leagues, we've understood that, or we've had graduates move on to those programs, so the alumni is now providing value back. It's all connected, and it's all an opportunity. And so, I mean, this is the other thing. This is very much paralleling Cloud9's take on the Bazaar, their card game, coming from their CEO. Like, it's an esport team wanting to make a game. Great, sell it as your own thing. That's a great way to make money. You keep the costs of the game low. You make sure that there's a low barrier of entry. Easy to play, difficult to master, lots of tactical play, lots of customization, all that stuff. There you go. You've got the current concoction for success. You just need to make a game that's fun, which is the hardest part about making a game. But if colleges took the same route as C9 and wanted to really disrupt the power of game developers and the publishers and any governing bodies, this is the way to do it. This is the way to change the conversation of, instead of us coming to them, or you going to someone else, them coming to you. I'm going to hop off my soapbox and send this out, and hopefully it'll be something entertaining for everyone who's stuck at home. Share it with your friends, share it with your family. Don't just play it on your AirPods, play it on your at-home Alexa, play it on your Bluetooth enabled speaker so that everyone can be a part of the conversation. Share it with your mom, share it with your dad. Let them know more of your esports world and what people are thinking about this. I would love for any feedback. You can leave some for me at anchor.fm/thesummoninghour/message. You can also reach out to me on social media, pretty much anywhere, at Warlock Recall. And that's pretty much it for this episode. Look forward to another episode from the Collegiate Esports Expo, or College Esports Expo, in a few days when I have my computer finally up and running to full power as I wait on a delayed shipment of cables. So we will figure that out. We will get some more content out for y'all, and it'll be a lot of fun. Let's keep talking. Let's keep asking questions. And let's keep this going.
Ladies and gentlemen, summoning part 2. Summoning Hour podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, is the podcast. Yeah.